Just want to check, can you hear me?
Yes.
Is this working?
Yes.
Microphone working? Well, good morning and lovely to be with you in Kingston Thackeray's, just up the road from where I live in Marcham. Thank you, Peter, for kindly inviting me and for all of you who've welcomed me this morning. Lovely to be here. So you can all hear, you can all see. In the next 20 minutes, I'd like to take you with me on a journey that I've made over the last 6 years. As you can see, 2,000 miles of walking and praying around Britain. It's a story of me and my dog. And I hope that it will introduce you to the idea of prayer walking and maybe even encourage you to give it a go. Perhaps even here in your own community of Kingston Thackeray's and Southmore, which I think we're all aware is a community that's changing and growing before our eyes. And I looked at this picture, which I got from Google, of your village, and I thought, wow, it's even changed since this picture was taken, because I don't think the pub is still a pub, is that right? Is that the co-op now?
Yeah.
Change happening, but God is here and sees it all. I very unexpectedly have found myself doing this prayer walking. And over the course of my journeys, I have travelled from the furthest point south in Britain. I want you to join in. Does anyone recognise or imagine where the furthest point south in Britain is?
Lizard.
Yeah, great. That's the Lizard in Cornwall. Two, this is a bit trickier, the furthest point north on mainland Britain. Near Dunning. Near Dunning. Just a bit further north. Yes, fantastic. Dunning Head. Yeah. From the furthest point west on mainland Britain. Anyone? No, Dunning Head, you might know. No, it's Arden of Merchant in Highlands. And the furthest point east.
It must be from a Cromer.
It's not far, yeah.
Southampton.
Yeah. It's actually Lowestoft. Ness Point. I have now walked through some of the wildest and emptiest parts of Britain, where there are no people or very few, and also through some of our busiest metropolises, the heart of our great cities, London, Edinburgh, just a couple. And I also walked through an awful lot of back streets, just one street after another. And I've walked in all weathers, from last summer, which was pretty hot, if you can remember that, and definitely through lots of rain and worse. What you need to know about me is that I am not the sporty type. I think I scraped into the netball team when I was 10, and that's the last sporty thing I ever did. I'm now 62. I have never done anything like this in my life. I'm way out of my comfort zone. But in the course of doing this, and I'll explain how I got into doing it, I have found a love of walking, but also a love of discovering my country. I've lived abroad a lot of my life, and I realized I really didn't know Britain. But here's the question, why have I got into this? How did it all start? Well, God is interesting. So this was 2013, I was actually in a very dark place. My marriage had come to an end. I found myself on my home. And the thing which was really getting to me at that point was, how was I ever going to take a holiday on my own? I've always been a traveller, I've always gone places, and I just couldn't envision doing things on my own. So I was quite low, and I suffered from depression, and I know that that's something to take seriously and to deal with, really. And so I found myself saying, well, Mary, what do you think to do? And I don't know where this little answer came in my head, but I found myself saying, I'd like to go all the way around that island. No idea why I said that. And so it kind of galvanized me to think, well, could I? And then I thought, well, I'll give it a try. So I went and bought some boots. Actually, this was three sets of boots again. And a jacket and some kit and some maps. And I have a dog. That was a big part of it. A lovely retired guide dog you can see there is called Kenna. And one Friday afternoon, I set off for Dover. Why did I think it was a place to start? Dover just felt like a place to go to, and I had an idea that I was going to go clockwise around Britain, and I figured I wanted to take 4 years to do it. I knew I couldn't walk all the way around the coast. Does anyone know what the coastline of Britain is? You won't find one answer, but it might be something about 7,000 miles all the way around. And I have a day job as well, so I knew I was never going to be able to walk all that. But I figured I would do bits of it in stages, long weekends, weeks off, and then I would travel all the bits in between in my car. So Saturday morning, I found myself on the cliff over. That was not a good moment to discover that I don't have a head for heights on the top of cliffs. That hasn't changed. An awful lot of cliffs. But I also discovered, as I was looking down the Port of Dover and all the ferries going in and out, it was fascinating. There was my country sort of happening. And actually, from that moment, I was hooked. So this is my first walk, as I call it, has been over that 4 years that followed 2013, going all the way around in stages, and I did 1,000 miles of walking by the time I finally got back to Dover again, going clockwise. And I travelled all the other bits in between, bits I couldn't walk by car or train or boat. Now, I don't know if you can see this, but basically you can see that, the first year was the black bits around the south of England, the next year was the red bits, Wales up to the northwest, the third year was over around Scotland, which is the big challenge, and the fourth year was the yellow bit down the east coast. And from that dark place where I started, what I very soon recognised was its beneficial effect on my mental health. This is a big word we have now, isn't it? Mental health, and rightly so, because it's been silent for too long. Exercise is good. Being out in the open air is good. It's not, a total panacea, but it certainly contributes to a well-being. And the other thing I discovered, and this was what I hadn't thought about when I first had this idea, was that I could pray. An awful lot of walking, hours in a day, and, as you're plodding along, well, why not pray? And so that was how I discovered prayer walking as I went along. And I'm not very good at it, but I've learned again. And so when I finished the 4 years around the coast, to me it was then inconceivable that I would stop because I knew it was good for me and I just enjoyed it. So I'm now in the middle of my second walk, which is the length and breadth of Britain. That's what I called it. I don't know if you can, this is a loud matter, sorry. But it's, I went back to Dover again, and I figured I would walk from the bottom right up to the top. And I don't know if you can see my wiggly black line there, but I have walked, and now I'm doing every step, not just the bits I think I can manage. I've got as far as Glasgow. If you're ever just driving up the motorway, you know, up Britain, it's an awful long way, and I have now walked a lot of that, but I haven't yet got to the top of Scotland. When I started walking, I was doing 5 miles a day, and I thought that was a long way. I have got fitter, and I'm now doing 12 to 16 miles a day. Logistics, overnight stops, anywhere from a Scottish castle to a shepherd's hut, any kind of B&B, anywhere in between. Sometimes I've had occasional companions who walked a bit with me. There's my oldest son and one of my grandkids did a bit in London. There's my daughter who did a bit in Scotland with me. And here's the crew that came with me on the last few miles getting back to Dover after going all the way around. I sent out a message to my friend saying, who'd like to walk the last 10 miles back to Dover with me? Total silence. Then I sent another message, would anyone like to do the last mile with me? And this lovely lot of family and friends turned up and we had a chocolate cake at the end of it. But I will tell you, I actually prefer walking on my own when it comes to the prayer bit. Now, this is not what you're supposed to say about prayer walking, and if any of you, you know, do it or are thinking you might like to give it a go, don't listen to me because I do it all wrong. You're supposed to go in pairs or triplets, and I'm sure that's the right thing to do. But I'm just different, and I actually prefer doing it on my own because I can concentrate better. How do I pray? With difficulty. I am not good at this. I don't want you to think I'm some amazing prayer warrior, because there are amazing people who do that, but I'm not one. It's hard work, and I find it difficult. And I'm selfish in my prayers to start off with today. I pray to be safe. This is where it's out of my comfort zone. And I pray, sometimes there are a few dodgy moments, they usually involve cows. this picture's a bit wonky because I'm actually sitting on top of a wall where I retreated, wondering how I was going to navigate this lot of cows who were blocking my path. They can kill you, you know, you have to take cows seriously. So, I've had a few adventures. Well, I would say the dodgy moments I can really only count on one hand. God has looked after me amazingly. And I have prayer backup. You know, this is not just a stroll in the park. As it's gone on, I've realised it's a kind of ministry, and it's not a neutral thing to do, spiritually. So I now have prayer backup from my lovely home church down the road in Marcham, and specifically I've asked four of our senior ladies, who my dear friends here, Patience and Jerome, have come from Marcham, to be with me today. Thank you. They will know we have some lovely senior ladies, you know, well into their 80s and 90s. They are my prayer group, and they don't have emails, but I write out for them, you know, where I'm going each day, and I believe they pray for me, and I really appreciate that. Then there's the praying for Britain, the unselfish bit of praying. And this is how it's kind of evolved. I always want to give thanks to God. You always want to worship God. It's an integral part of the praying. Because you just want to praise Him for what He's made. Because so often it's beautiful. This is a favourite of Scotland. And yeah, let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, including the lovely wildlife that you suddenly see popping up, this seal. I was walking along the beach and I looked up and there's the seal, and you know, it just makes you smile. You just thank you, Lord, for your amazing creation. Then I pray for our country to be safe in specific practical ways. As I'm going under a big bridge, I pray that that bridge will be safe in the traffic that it carries. And I'm going to pass a nuclear power station, and going around the coast, you go past an awful lot of them. I pray that that nuclear power station will be safe, particularly for the community around it. I see a container vessel going by, and I pray for our trade and the ongoing prosperity and well-being of our country. If I'm going under or over a motorway, I try to remember to pray for the traffic and just the drivers going by on the M25 or wherever. That's going underneath the M4 where it goes over the Severn Bridge. Then I pray for communities and individuals to turn to God. This is where I find it hard work. Because you go through one village and you pray for that, and then another 5 miles down the road is another village, and I think, could pray for this one. And I confess, I find it hard work. What I have found very inspiring and beneficial is that I like to go up on a hill and look down on a place and pray from there. So this is Weymouth. Now, anyone like to guess what town this is? University town?
Aberystwyth. Aberystwyth.
Yes, we said Aberystwyth. Yep. Aberystwyth. This one's a bit trickier. Port. Port City. Oil.
Aberdeen.
No, but
Aberdeen.
Aberdeen. Someone say Aberdeen. Yeah. Aberdeen. It's really interesting to me that I often get a feeling that I should pray for someone that I don't even see, but a specific person. And these are the kind of prompts which I've noticed. For example, I'm walking along the Thames path coming up the Thames into London, and there's flood barriers all the way, concrete flood barriers. It's very claustrophobic, don't it? Because you've got this wall next to you for miles, and it's all this graffiti on it. And I just had this thought that the person who did that artwork, pray for that person. I don't know who they are. I'll never know. But you know, so then you've got the next half a mile, and you just say, how do I pray for this person? And you open yourself to prayer. I'm walking along a big beach and I'm following someone's footprints across a long beach. And I think, who's this person that I'm literally following in their footprints? Where is their life taking them? And you have time to pray for this person you never know. Not this side of glory, anyway. And then a few weeks ago, I was in Lithgow in central Scotland. And all over the pavement were these betting slips from Ladbrokes on the ground. And I thought, you know, a bit messy, and I'm walking along. And then suddenly, I have this feeling, the person that dropped all these betting slips, they have a gambling problem. Just a friend. So that's for communities and people, individuals to turn to God. And then for the local church and the body of Christ, that's one of the ways I find it lovely being up on a hill, because you see all the churches and it just helps to focus your attention on them. Anyone like to guess where this lovely place is? Northeast, Alma. Looking down again, you see, you know, church. Church is in a place. So yeah, everywhere from Barrow to Boscastle, I try to pray for the people of God in that place to be reinforced in their faith, be encouraged, given resources. I often feel I want to pray for the Salvation Army in a place, in poor places. The Salvation Armies were often at the coalface, and I respect them so much. One little example, I was in a small place in Scotland, and I had this sense to pray for the unity of the Christians in the place. And it was a few days later that I was talking to a member of the church in that, from that community, and I just mentioned that I felt to pray for the unity of the church. And they paused for a minute, and they said, well, you wouldn't know, but our church has just split because the minister went to the funeral of a Catholic. In Scotland, the Reformation is still alive and well, and it has split the church. You know, I didn't know that, but it seemed like God gave me that word to pray. And pray for institutions that I go past, for schools, for prisons, and palaces. Yeah. Prisons always look pretty grim. I try to pray for the chaplains, and I try to pray for one particular prisoner. I don't know who they are, but whatever need comes to me to pray for them. A long walk up at Great Park of Windsor. Had plenty of time to pray, and I knew they were in residence because the flag was flying. I often pray for the economy of places. Where are people going to find work? Redcar, the steelworks decommissioned, just sitting there. No work. The whole community. You know, we live in a much more affluent part of Britain, but there are places which are pretty rough. And then I was walking above the Port Talbot steelworks at a time when its future hung in the balance. It's been given a reprieve for how long? Just praying for good, dignified work for our labour force. Then, in terms of praying for individuals, I realised after a while I needed a strategy to find a way of talking to people. Because for about the first year, I felt like I was completely invisible. It's partly being a middle-aged woman. I don't know if anyone else notices this, but I just find I'm invisible, right? And I'd do 5 miles, and I'd come into a place, and I'd be so pleased with myself, and it's like nobody even saw me. And so then I came up with a slightly eccentric plan. My own children no, quite know what I'm going to come up with next. But anyway, I got one of our lovely ladies at church to embroider me a sign for the back of my backpack. This one says, walking the length of Britain. And if that's a little bit too subtle, I also have this. because people see your back, and it's non-invasive. They don't have to do anything, but they see it. Everybody sees it. Whether they want to engage, I can tell you, the south of Britain, nobody wants to talk to you, but the further north you go, people like to talk. And Liverpool is one of the friendliest places. And, you know, you hear people say, oh, she's walking. and occasionally people will say, are you really? And, you know, it's lovely because you get to talk to people. And I just pray that the conversations that come up through that are fruitful in some way. And then these were three lads walking along the towpath coming into Leeds. I thought they were a wee bit having a good day out. And so when they came running after me, I thought, but they were lovely. They weren't drunk at all. And they just wanted to do something for their community. And I said, well, praying about the flight, praying, you know, you think, oh my goodness, what are they going to say? I've been praying about the fly ticking that I've just seen along the path. It was in this disgusting mess. And it turns out these three lads run a cleaning business. And they had just been thinking about what they wanted to do for the community. So I thought, oh my goodness, I need to tell them about the prayer. So, you know, you get into a conversation. I said, I don't know if this makes any sense to you, but I've just been praying about this mess. Maybe this is something that you would like to engage with. And then you walk on, and you're probably never ever going to meet them again. But you leave the results to God. It's not my job. So, drawing to a close, I want to bring the story a wee bit up to date, because there are a few things. Dear Kenna, she died last year. And, she was a dear dog. She went with me. I couldn't have done those first years without her because she kind of gave, she was a big prop. You could see her in a, coming out of a peat bog there. And I found it more difficult last year to walk without her. There she is. But the good news is I now have another dog, and this is Star, and I'm training her in. She's not quite as angelic as Kenna was, but she would be a good companion for onward walking. Sorry. And there's another piece of news, and that is that I am moving from Marcham to the Isle of Mull in Scotland. I don't know if anyone knows where that is. It's off the northwest coast of Scotland. Good. And yeah, that's me. Surveying where I'm hoping to live. And that's me with some sheep. They're not my sheep, they're local farmers. And yeah, this may happen in the course of the next year or so, and maybe a different ministry or an additional ministry that seems to be coming into my sights. But it's very much grown out of the walking and seeing all these amazing places. And just being open, really, to what might come next. So, here is the moral of the story, as far as I can see it. Remember Nehemiah in the reading we had? Loved his people, loved Jerusalem, and was heartbroken for the brokenness of the place. Get a love for a place, your place, whichever place. And then pray for it. And you feel it when you just walk around it. And this is where the Ephesians bit comes in. This is spiritual work. It's actually spiritual war, I think, I've come to understand, when we pray for a place. And so it's not a usual thing to do. We need to be spiritually armed. And that's where Ephesians 6 describes clearly the armour of God that we need to put on to be protected spiritually, as well as the prayers for the cows and all those sorts of things. And then you don't know what will happen. And that's why I call this a wild goose pilgrimage. Not in the sense of a wild goose chase, something kind of random, you don't know what, that has no point. But did you know that the Celtic Christians called the Holy Spirit a wild goose? And I didn't know that until some way into the walk, but I felt that my walk was like a wild goose pilgrimage, in the sense that this Holy Spirit, this wild bird, was leading me. And you just try and listen and follow. Thank you.
Questions,
anybody have any questions?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it's going to love letters from a long distance walker.
Oh,
but I've got to move first.
Yes.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you.
Susan.
Do you have a lot of planning to do ahead of time?
Yes. And what would we do without the internet? You know, and the more planning, the better. Because, well, like at the end of a walk, the logistics are that I usually, in the past, I leave my car at the beginning of the walk, I do the walk, and then I get public transport back to my car, and then I move on to the next step. But, you know, bus timetables, trains, how can I get from A to B? Don't try doing it in Scotland because there's only a bus on a Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, lots of research, maps, poring over maps. And where possible, I try to link with, you know, if friends in church have a friend who lives somewhere, you learn so much more, obviously, from local people. When you're trying to pray, you can be much more sensible if, you know, you've talked to someone.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mary, when you go to Mal.
Sorry?
When you go to Mal.
Yes.
Are you walking there?
No. Well, I'm getting a car with four-wheel drive. But also, it's going to be so incredibly environmentally friendly in my new life. I tell you, I'm going to have some little candles on it. Someone else.
How many miles do you think you could keep going?
Oh, absolutely. No idea. Yeah, you're right. Too many. Too many. And that's why I really want to change to get a car that's more efficient. Yeah. I don't know the answer.
Are you going to continue to walk when you get to Mars?
Yes. I mean, I still got to do the last bit right up to the top of Scotland. It gets a bit scarier up there, and I don't think it's the kind of walking one should do on one's own. You know, you're told you shouldn't ever go out alone, and so I've got some nice friends who I think
it's like, wild, right?
Yes, it's wild, and certainly not in the buses.
Yeah, I think we put it to the other part. I was just wondering, when you do the walking bit, you're going to have to come back to get your car.
Yeah, yes. At least in places where, you know, the civilization, yes, I leave the car at the beginning, usually, and do the walk, and then get
to... Do you like circular walk, or did you...
No, linear. Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually it's linear. But as I've got into places that are more remote, I'm now getting a bit braver, and I have now done a bit of stuff with everything in my backpack. I don't wild camp or anything like that. Sorry, I'm not that brave. But, you know, just moving from one place to another and carrying everything with me, including the dog.
And how many hours a day does that take you?
I usually try to start walking by 9:30, and then I like to be finished by 4, especially if it's getting dark.
Sounds like one or two of them, isn't it? Or is there thoughts including the breath?
The breath? Well, I don't know if you saw that my little map, it's kind of a bit wiggly. And I would also like to do some cross paths, like, you know, Hadrian's Wall or those kind of east-west paths. So, I'm open to what I might do in the future, to make it properly the breadth of Britain as well as the length. Yeah.
I think that's what we're calling. Hope there and talk to you, Mary, over coffee. Mary, thank you so much. That was fascinating.